Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, the 5th of February, 2008, and welcome to episode number 17 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for our lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, the drinker's diary, an honourable mention of Pilsners and the difference between Budweiser and Budvar, an interview with the head of the Dutch Brewers, Jack Verhoek, quick tastings, and of course, a try before you die section. So let's get cracking. News, and it's been a good week for Fuller's, as they introduced the 20,000th member to its Fine Ale Club. Okay, so it's free to join, but in the 9 years it's been going, it's amassed a solid membership. And remember, the World Camera has more members, either 84,000 or 89,000, depending on what part of the website you read. It has been going for much longer, beginning around the early 70s. Fuller's are also positive this week, because in other fandom news, they took 5 places in the top 25 beers list at a poll at beeradvocate.com. Their 5 winning beers were, not surprisingly, London Porter, Vintage Ale, Gaelus HSB, 1845, and ESB. With all the trouble in the world at the moment, you'd think there were enough problems for politicians to worry about, but no. Now patio heaters are coming under attack. The hypothermia savers of smokers since, well, November last year, are coming under criticism because of the effect on global warming. Smokers are suggesting another solution, that they be allowed to go back inside. And finally, good news for the post-Christmas period, as J.W. Lee's introduced 3 new beers. John Willie's, the eponymous star of J.W., is a 4.5% bitter with a nutty finish. Brewer's Dark is a smooth 3.5% beer with licorice and chocolate, and could be the session ale of the summer. And finally, Scorcher makes a return, after its success last year. In Beer Crate news, we now have a Facebook group. I have no idea if this is of any use to anyone, but since nothing happens in this world anymore unless it's on Facebook, I thought I'd better jump on the bandwagon before it rolls out of town. Also, at the suggestion of my friend John, all of the beer reviews, up to episode number 15, can now be accessed through your mobile phone or PDA. The program is supposed to be compatible to all mobile phones, but as I didn't write it, I have no idea. I'll put a link in the show notes. Drinker's Diary. And we have 3 new festivals for you this week. The first is Gosport Winterfest. This is the 16th such event, and this is being held at Thorngate Hall's Bury Road, Gosport. This takes place between the 22nd of February and the 23rd. Between the 28th of February and the 1st of March is Bradford Beer Festival. This includes entertainment on Friday night, Saturday lunch and Saturday evening, and is being held at Victoria Hall, Saltaire. And finally, Salisbury's Winterfest, their 11th, is taking place between the 29th of February, because we have one this year, and the 1st of March. This takes place at Castle Street Social, Scots Lane, Salisbury City Centre. Pilsner is a style of lager that originated in 1841 in the Czech Republic. Although maligned by many real ale drinkers, it has a refreshing clean taste that's perfect for hot summer days. Most Pilsners are a pale golden colour with a light body and brewed with noble hops. There's also a slight perfume flavour in places, and there are delicate aftertouches through the introduction of rice or corn. It is this delicate flavour that can deter some drinkers, but a glass of the original Pilsner, such as the Urkel, which is particularly good when drunk locally to the brewery, should remind beer drinkers of the subtle pleasures of a good Pilsner. The most famous Pils is probably Budweiser, and shares its origin with Budvar that began around the same time in Budweis in Austria-Hungary, which is now in the Czech Republic. The difference between the two, politically, is that Budweiser is American, brewed by Anheuser-Busch, and Budvar is Czech. This confusion in naming has led to various trademark hassles over the years, with both using the name Bud. The confusion originated because Budweiser actually began first, in 1876, but no longer has any connection to the town that shares the name. In contrast, Budvar shares the name of the town, but began later, in 1895. Budvar is consequently known as Czechvar in the US and Canada, and most of the disputes are now resolved. Taste-wise, they are significantly different, with it generally being agreed that Budvar is the better beer, with a lot more subtle flavours and much more enjoyable. In addition to the pils and the lager, Budvar also make a pale ale, a dark lager, and a super strong. What follows is an interview I conducted with Jack Farouk, head of the Central Brewery Office, or CBK, in the Netherlands. So I don't offend anyone, and I can still preserve the sanctity of the Dutch language, we conducted the interview in English, since Mr. Farouk's English is significantly better than my Dutch. Honneton.
Mr. Jack Farouk, welcome to the Beer Crate.
Thank you, and I'm very glad to have the opportunity to speak to you.
You're quite welcome. So, as I understand it, you're the head of the Central Brewery Office in the Netherlands.
I am, yes.
And you
yes.
deal with various Dutch brewers.
Yes, we have 8 members.
So, who are these people and what is it that you do with them?
The thing we do for the brewers is lobbying, both in our capital, The Hague, and in the capital of Brussels, in the capital of Europe, Brussels, mm-hmm. and vice versa, because sometimes decisions taken in Brussels have to be lobbied upon again in The Hague, and vice versa. So that's about the job we are doing for the brewers. We work for 8 brewers. We have 4 bigger members and 4 smaller members. The 4 bigger brewers are Heineken, Bavaria, Grolsch, or as we say, Grolsch, and InBev.
Yes.
And the smaller brewers are the Budelse, Alpha Brewery, Gulpener Brewery, and Lindeboom Brewery. Mm.
So in the process of lobbying, what sort of things are you lobbying for or against?
Well, we never lobby against, because we always have to find a way to make sure that the interests of the brewers are taken care of, and that means that we lobby on various subjects. We lobby, for instance, on the alcohol dossier, the responsible consumption of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How to make sure that we can contribute to that as much as possible. We lobby on the environmental issues. We lobby on packaging. We lobby on food safety and on the chain from grain until the tap.
Quite a wide range of sort of responsibilities and interests.
It is, yes, yes. All those stuff, all those issues that are non-competitive and where brewers have the same interests, they are being dealt with by the CBK.
So you're saying that you lobby both in The Hague and in Brussels for the European Parliament.
We do.
How is the beer lobbying different from lobbying any other products, such as, for instance, cornflakes?
Well, you shouldn't be surprised if I say that I think beer is much more sexy than cornflakes. But maybe the people from cornflakes think the other way around. But I found one of the reasons why I like this job so very much is that it is a very nice product to work for.
Yes.
So that's it. It has a lot more than just the product itself. The whole atmosphere around it is also very nice to work for.
So, what sort of things were you doing before? If I wanted to become a director of the Central Brewery Office, what would I have to do to get the job?
Then you have to go back into the background of myself. I'm born as the son of a pub owner, a hotel, cafe, and a restaurant owner, and my mother, worked there as well. She was busy in the kitchen. I was born there. I went to the hotel school in The Hague, and after that, I thought, well, hotel business is maybe not the right business for me, so I went on and studied economics at the university in Amsterdam. And after that, I started to work for the hotel and catering organization, the trade organization for the hotel and catering industry. I did that for 11 years. I left there as the vice director, and then became the director of the Dutch Spirits in a trade organization. And I did that for 12 years as well. And now I am already for 7 years busy in the beer industry.
Wow.
For the brewers.
So you've always been around, it seems.
Yes, I've always, my whole life is into drinks. From the beginning, the first day I was born, I already was, I think, laying in the bar.
Yes.
And I'm still there.
Very good.
Yes.
Beer in the UK is a very central part. I'm assuming it's exactly the same in the Netherlands too.
Yes, it is, and yeah, absolutely. That's why it is so nice to work for the beer industry, for the brewers, because beer is more than just the product, as I said before.
Yes, yes.
The atmosphere around it, it's there when you marry, it's there when you get your first boyfriend or your first girlfriend, it's there when people die. I mean, it's part of life. Yesterday there was a nice article in one of the bigger journals, and it said that it was that psychologists found out the people who abstain have more problem with depressions. Mm-hmm. So if you are, we are social people, and if we are not part of a social network, then trouble starts, and beer plays a big part in the social network.
Indeed. I mean, in the UK, Dutch beer seems to be Heineken and Grolsch. Is there anything you can do to get us some of the other beers?
Well, that is one of the things we are not doing as CBK. Our brewers are far more keen and better in marketing than we are. Our job is not marketing. We know that our members have marketing people and salespeople who try to get a hold in, for instance, the UK. We have Bavaria is the brewer who works together with a Trappist brewery, Koningshoeve, and they make their brand is La Trappe. I know that Lindeboom Brewery exports to certain parts of the UK. I know that Alpha Beer is being exported to the UK. I know that Gulpener is also in certain parts of the UK busy. So I think all our brewers are at least in the UK busy. Most of our brewers, that goes for Heineken, that goes for Grolsch, that goes for Bavaria, have more turnover outside the Netherlands than inside the Netherlands.
Wow.
No, we are very good in exporting. We are very good in trading anyway. That's in our blood as Dutchmen. So that's why you can see that we are we have been for many, many years the biggest exporter of beer in the world.
Yes.
We are now competing with Germany and Mexico for the first prize, but we are very much in the higher part of the competition.
So if everything is this rosy, are there any problems at the moment that you're currently facing in the beer industry?
Yes, of course. It's not only rosy. The issues we are taking care of are the parts that are most sometimes worrying, and at least give a lot of work for us. I mean, let's take the whole packaging issue. We were surprised by this cabinet or our government for the first time this year to have a so-called packaging tax, which means that all of a sudden we have to pay for our packaging extra. Not only we already did so, to make sure that our packaging was dealt with in a proper way, but now the government has an extra tax on it, so we have to deal with that. As far as alcohol consumption is concerned, discussions are rising and are getting sharper and sharper as far as the discussion on drinking by youngsters is concerned.
Yes.
So all kinds, all those stuff means that we have to be proactive. So that's why we, for instance, in the issue of article beer and youngsters, we made sure to have a coalition with two ministries, the Ministry of Justice and the Ministry of Health, all the health organizations in the Netherlands, and all the people who make beer, wine and spirits, to make sure that there is a program to try and get youngsters under the age of 16 not to drink any longer. Mm-hmm. That's heavy, because the trend was to start drinking younger and younger, and we are worried on that as well, because it's not good for the youngsters, so it's not good for our product, it's not good for our image, so we try to stop it.
Seems to be a problem the world over, actually, at the moment. We've had very similar things here recently.
But you have to try and be proactive on it, and you have to make sure that you show to the outside world that you care.
And finally, since you represent so many brewers, and there's so many different beers, I probably couldn't ask you to pick a favourite, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
No.
what would be your favourite summer beer, a nice light beer for those hot, sunny days?
Well, I'm very traditional. 92% of Dutchmen drink Pilsner lager beer, mm-hmm. and that's what I prefer. And it doesn't. The brand does not. For me, all Dutch beers are lovely.
And if you happen to be trapped in the icy tundra, is there a nice warming beer, darker beer that you'd prefer?
Well, when it's colder, then I would prefer one of the specialty beers from one of my brewers. And that might be a Trappist beer, or that might be an amber beer, or that might be any other darker beer. We have, for instance, in the Netherlands, one specialty that's not very common outside the Netherlands, and that is bock beer. Mm-hmm. And I like to have that as well. It goes very well with ettersoep and skating. After skating, of course, because during skating, don't drink.
Okay, any other messages or words of wisdom you'd like to fill this space with?
Well, I'm very glad, I would like to end with, I'm very glad that the European alcohol strategy has turned into a diversity of cultures, taking into account a diversity of cultures, because a one-size-fits-all solution for Europe doesn't exist. We are totally different from the north of Sweden to the south of Italy, mm-hmm. and we should cherish that, and we should not try and make one big Europe with one common denominator. So I'm very glad that also in the field of the alcohol strategy this was recognized. The Brewers of Europe, and we are the Brewers of Europe all together, did a great job to make sure that this is taken care of.
Mr. Jack Verbroek, thank you very much.
Thank you, and I drink to that as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Union Bitter, from Grand Union. This is a light 3.7% beer with some interesting taste combinations. Essentially, this lives up to its name of bitter, and is primarily bitter with a continued and prominent aftertaste. What is surprising, however, is that it is served as a beer which is light in colour and contains some citrus flavours as well. It's a reasonable enough brew, but nothing stand out. It gets 6 out of 10. Abbott Ale, from Green King. This is an easy-to-come-by beer, but certainly worth remembering, especially amidst the more exotic brews we cover on the show. Abbott has full white flavours of malt, hops, with fruit and floral overtones. It is certainly good for cold weather, without being a full-on dark winter ale. It's 5% and scores 8 out of 10. Discovery, from Fuller's. At 4.2%, this is billed as more of a summer ale, and keeps this lightness with lager malts, and comes with a slight biscuit flavour and a fruity zest. What sets this apart is the rarely used Zaas hops. This provides a little more interest for the palate than usual, and makes it a 7.5 out of 10. Landlord's Choice, from Wylam. This is a golden hoppy beer at 4.6% and somewhat akin to Discovery. You'd certainly tell the difference, and although Landlord's Choice doesn't have the extra little sparks and zest of Discovery, if you like this sort of beer, this won't actually concern you as you drink it. It is a very worthy second place to Discovery, and earns 7 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Strong Arm from Camlins. Camlins is a microbrewery based in Hartlepool, northeast England, and still has an independent feel after 150 years. It began when William Walden bought the Lion Brewery in 1852. This soon passed to the eponymous John William Camlins in 1865, Wolverhampton and Dudley Breweries in 1992, before being bought again by Castle Eden Brewery in 2002. This last sale returned the brewery to family ownership. Camlins also own a number of pubs, which sell their 500,000 barrel at capacity across the north of England, mostly around Durham and Newcastle, and there is currently a visitor centre in the Strantham Arms next to the original Lime Brewery. Strong Arm itself is a slightly stronger brew than usual at 4% and was introduced in 1955. It is a deep ruby red colour with a small full cream head and good body. It tingles on the tongue before a rush of smooth cream overpowers you, letting you quaff with pleasure. You're then left with a cream layer on the tongue and velvet head on the lips. There's also extra tingles of toffee in the mouth as the beer warms. Strong Arm wins this week award not just because it's a good beer, but because both beer and brewery punch above their weight. That is to say that despite the apparent humble background of both beer and brewery, it tastes full, refined and traditional, as if millions of corporate R&D dollars had been poured into it. It hasn't. It's still very unassuming and very enjoyable, which makes it this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. This podcast has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.